aesthetic going there.
Okay. So if you wouldn't mind, Ken, just saying again your name and your date of birth, if you don't mind.
Right, yes. My name's Ken Lazenby. Date of birth, 19th of June, 1937.
Thank you very much. And could you just tell us what years you were at the Harris and what course you studied?
I was at the Junior Technical College from 1950 to 1952 for general sort of lessons as the school provided, you know, at that age.
Okay. And tell us a little bit more about the lessons that you had. Can you remember about what kind of subjects you studied?
Well, yes, I can. There was obviously the obvious school subjects. There was no languages, which suited me. And the only difference was that one had to choose between woodwork and metalwork and or cotton spinning and weaving. Now, for one specific reason, I chose spinning and weaving. Mm-hmm. This occurred after about a month, I would say, and we were told that we had the option, and at that point we should consider whether we wanted to go into the spinning and weaving trade or engineering or whatever, and that was to decide whether we took spinning and weaving as an alternative to woodwork and metalwork. Now, strangely enough, I had a different reason to choose spinning and weaving. I think I mentioned this, didn't I?
Yeah.
I, for whatever reason, and I don't know now, I hated the woodwork master.
Yeah.
And I was almost frightened of him.
Yeah.
A guy called Hulse, Mr. Hulse. And when we got the option to choose either spinning and weaving or woodwork and metalwork, it was a no contest.
Yeah.
To hell with what he was going to do as a job. It was a great way of getting away from the woodwork master. Simple as that.
And just a clash of personalities or something? There wasn't anything specific? I don't know.
But, yeah. Generally speaking, I don't take any dislike to people, generally. Yeah, some people tend to do. But I don't. And I can't remember why, but I detested that man.
Yeah.
And I'd only sort of met him 3 or 4 weeks, you know. But that was it.
Right, yeah, it sometimes happens like that, doesn't it? What were the other teachers like?
The other teachers were very, very good. And I think they tended to treat you like adults, more or less.
Yeah.
You know, I do remember many of them. And we always found out their sort of Christian names, which was perhaps unusual in schools.
Yeah.
Mr. Hornby, the PE teacher. There was Mr. Jones taught maths. Who else was the spinning teacher was Claude Harrington. The weaving teacher was Bill Dagger. There was the famous English teacher, which I forget his name now, but you will know, the 39 steps guy.
John Buchan,
no. He wasn't the teacher. Oh, devil, what's his name? I'm suffering from remembering now. Dickie Burkett.
Okay, yeah.
Dickie Burkett. And it's surprising how you, even after 70 years, remember certain things.
Yeah.
And I think he was well known for, I've heard in the meetings, people mention 39 steps, and he all presumably did that every year.
Okay, yeah.
And I remember he was quite an amusing guy, very nice man. And I remember one particular incident. there was a lad in the class called Ian Mellor. Now, the other thing I remember is that all the lads used platinum fountain pens, which were not over reliable. And Dickie set us an essay to write. And this lad, Ian, he just sat there and he didn't do anything. And Dickie Burke said to him, "What's the problem, Ian?" And he said, "I've blotted my way." And Dickie said to him something like, "Throughout your life, Ian, you will now come to many problems far more serious than having a blot in your way, and you have to find a way of overcoming them. So I would suggest you just get on with it." And that was Dickie, really.
Yeah. So it sounds like there's quite a good relationship between the teachers.
Well,
and
I think there seemed to be very little sort of bad behaviour.
Yeah.
I don't recall any sort of punishment in any way, any detention or stay behind or extra homework or. I don't remember that at all. I think that's the case, you know. Okay. And they sort of taught us like a dunce almost.
Yeah,
you know.
So it sounds like you did sort of English and maths and.
With English, maths, there was geography and history. Obviously, I don't remember the teachers for those. But I went on to textiles, and that was very good, very, very interesting, I found.
So how much time did you spend on the kind of like the technical subjects, the spinning and weaving?
There was one lesson a week for spinning and one lesson for weaving, which took the place of woodwork and the other subject, which perhaps you didn't get in other schools, was technical drawing.
Okay.
And I think they sort of concentrated on that, because I think quite a fair percentage of the lads went to sort of be draftsmen and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Because obviously there's a lot of engineering around here.
Yeah.
And we were encouraged to, you know, as I say, from an early stage, think about what job you wanted, and more or less relate the subject you concentrated onto that. And a lot of them went to be draftsmen.
Yeah.
One of the, there were three of us came from Leyland Secondary Modern School, and one of the other two went to be a draftsman at Leyland Motors.
And what were the facilities like, the resources for teaching, or did you have equipment?
Well, I found they were very good. I don't remember too much about the sort of science, sort of presumably we had science. I don't often remember any sort of laboratory work, but I'm sure there was that, you know. But I can't just think where that was. But I really did go for the textiles. I thought that was particularly good.
And did they have the proper equipment?
Oh yes, yeah. Yes. It was quite ancient, as you would expect. But you know, how many schools had a weaving shed? I really did think I did enjoy the textile subjects, and it stood you in good stead for a job. So whilst I'm on that subject, what was particularly good was the fact that as no doubt you know, in terms of moving on to get a job, there were personnel came to the college from the bigger companies, British Aerospace, Leyland Motors, Goss Printing, to interview the lads and give them an apprentice. The textile business slightly worked differently. The man in charge, Mr. Ashworth, he approached various mills in the area and asked them if they wanted an apprentice. And he then, you know, forwarded you to those places. And he sort of, in effect, got me a job at the Elastical Spinning Company.
Okay.
Which was quite handy for home, you know, living in Leyland at the time.
Yeah.
And that was particularly beneficial. I mean, I don't know to what extent the university does that now, but it's probably not. But I found that, you know, a great benefit, really. At the time, I thought that was very good.
So was it that you came to the junior tech school and you did your studies there, and then you got the apprenticeship at the spinning mill?
Yes.
And did you carry on coming to the Harris while you were on your apprenticeship?
Yes, yes. There was something called day release.
Yeah.
Which obviously was a day a week during the school terms, which I came here.
Yeah.
And was taught by the same teachers.
Okay.
It was generally 2 half days, funnily enough, rather than 1 full day.
Yeah.
And there was also a night school, 2 or occasionally 3 days a week. Here. Again, taught by the same students.
So you had like a general course that included some spinning and weaving?
Yes, it was all, it was taken quite separately, funnily enough. Well, I suppose you can class it as two separate industries. Obviously there are mills that only do spinning, there are mills that only do weaving, and there are some mills like Oryx's who do the whole thing.
Yeah.
But here it was quite a, although I don't think there was anyone who took just spinning or just weaving, it was, the course was textiles.
Okay.
And of course there were very odd thing about that, there was in the night school courses and the day release courses, there were foreign students.
Yeah.
And strangely enough, I got very friendly with an Indian lad.
Yeah.
Very nice lad. And when we finished the 5 years, he was going home.
Right.
And he wanted me to go with him, and his parents had a cotton plantation.
Okay.
And he asked me to go home with him and manage this cotton plantation.
Wow.
But I thought, no, not India.
Quite a step.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was the textile part of it. I know I'm emphasising this, but I think compared with, you know, what we'd have done if you'd have stayed at the secondary modern school, there was no comparison.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it's just interesting that kind of just that sequence of the tech school course and then getting the apprenticeship at the mill and then coming back on day release and evening classes. That's quite a lot to do, isn't it? Was it a mixed spinning and weaving mill that
you... No, lost the Gold Spinning Company was solely spinning.
Right.
I didn't need any of the weaving knowledge after I left, actually, because it was solely spinning.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what happened then, it only lasted 10 years, because in the sort of early 60s, all the mills were closing down, and what they call spinning mill closed down. It was owned by the same man who owned Tulketh Mill.
Yeah.
And for the last 6 months or so, I did work at Tulketh Mill as well. But obviously that closed down shortly afterwards. And I was advised by the MD at Loster Gold Spinning Company not to try and get another job in textiles.
Yeah.
Which obviously it would have been very difficult anyway, because a lot of the mills were closing down.
Yeah.
And I went somewhere else, a different trade altogether. So that was the situation there.
And when you were at the Harris, how many of you did the textiles course? And did anybody suggest at that time that, is this something you really want to do?
It sort of came all of a sudden, really. Obviously over a few years, but no, that was not mentioned then. And of course, at that time, sort of 1951, say, the textile industry was thriving.
Yeah.
But it was about 10 years, and then it sort of went. But that's what I feel the real benefit was of learning something at school that related to a job.
Yeah.
Now, if you hadn't come to somewhere like here, I'm sure you wouldn't have got that.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
And the fact that I think everyone really who was in the textile, that chose textiles here, I think did go into textiles. I'm sure they did. There was nobody that opted out and said, no, I don't want that, I'll go and be something else.
Yeah.
I don't think they, but there was only about, when I say we had the choice, there was only about, I think, six of us that decided on textiles rather than woodwork and metalwork, you know.
Okay. And while you're on your apprenticeship, presumably you didn't have to pay the fees for coming here on the day release?
No. There was no charge at all, nothing. And the other great thing about it, and I think this came from Mr. Ashworth, all the lads that came here to day release and night school, we got a bus contract.
Okay.
Now he arranged that, I'm sure he did, because everybody had one.
Yeah.
And for me, it was particularly valuable. You could use them 24/7.
Uh-huh.
They were set for a specific route between your nominated bus stop and Fisherwick's bus station, or and where I gained by that, of course, the mill was on the route. I could go to work for nothing. And I was the envy of all my mates, because when we came to Preston on Saturday night, I could use my pass. It cost them 4 pence return.
Wow.
And again, I'm sure that was due to what Mr. Ashworth did, and it was primarily to come here to study.
And presumably your bosses at the mill were quite keen for you to do this. And did you get any recognition in the mill? Was there any kind of pay or promotion when you finished the course or anything?
Well, yes. When I, of course, National Service was on the go then.
Yeah.
And there was a deferral scheme for anyone who was studying.
Yeah.
And when I got to 18, I had to be had to apply. I'm not sure how that actually happened and worked, but I had to apply for to be deferred, mm-hmm. which was more or less automatic if you could prove you were studying.
Yeah,
and I left here obviously 5 years when I was 20.
Yeah,
and the following February I went in the RAF.
Okay.
And you want a story about the RAF, which was relative?
No, go on.
You had to go to Cardington to be kitted out, and then you went to square bashing. And I did square bashing at Wilmslow.
Yeah.
And whilst you were there, the RAF, or you hadn't to say RAF, it was the Royal Air Force, had to decide what job you would do in once you were in the Royal Air Force for 2 years. Now, the system was anyone with any qualifications, and by that time, of course, I'd passed all the exams, I'd got the HNC in cotton spinning and weaving.
Yeah.
Anyone who had any qualifications more or less got first choice, and they knew they all the details, and they knew who had some qualifications, and I, amongst others, were sort of picked out for get first choice, you see. And I had to go in front of a board of three officers, little fat group captain in the middle, as there always is, you know. And he said something like, we in the Royal Air Force aim to make the most of airmen's qualifications and experience and workmanship and so on to obtain, get them the right job suitable in the Royal Air Force. Now, airmen, what are your qualifications? I have a HNC in cotton spinning and weaving, sir. And all the three of them just roared with laughing. What could they say?
Balloons.
And this chap said something like, the Royal Air Force don't do spinning and weaving. No, right, okay, I understand that. And he said, have you anything in mind? What would you want to do? Well, I had no idea at all. And he said, oh, I see. He said, we do have tailors. Now, were they kitted out at Cardington? They had tailors who altered uniforms for the new recruits, you know, anyone who was about 6'8" or, you know. I said, I thought, blimey, no, I don't to do that. I said, well, no, that's not relevant at all. I'm not, I can't be a tailor. And they sort of looked at each other and nodded and said, how about the police? I said, yes, that would be all right. So I ended up in the RAF police for 2 years.
Wow.
But, you know, there we are. Yeah.
Could we backtrack a bit, Cam? You mentioned that you're at a secondary modern in
Leyland.
So can you just tell us a little bit about your education up to when you came to the Harris, and then how you came to be here?
Yes, well, there again, that's sort of quite interesting. I went to Leyland Secondary Modern, obviously, because I failed the 11 plus, which I would have gone to Balshaw's Grammar School.
Mm.
Apparently that was one of the teachers told my parents that I was a bit slow and I had to check everything. I sort of knew that 2 and 2 was 4, but I had to make sure, you know. As a result, I don't think I completed the papers. That sort of fault. Leyland Secondary Modern was okay. The one thing I did not like about it, when you went there, there were 5 classes in each year, and I was in the top class of the 5. And the top class were taught French. Now, I hated that. And I couldn't see the sense of it. You know, in 1948, nobody went to France. why did you need to learn French? And I couldn't get the hang of this damn French, and I hated it. Other than that, it was all right. We had the general school subjects, and you know, it included things like gardening and all the sports things and so on. Now, when it, after 2 years there, of course, when we were 13, we had the choice of sitting for a technical college.
Yeah.
And from Leyland, we sat for 3.
Okay.
We sat for Wigan Mining and Tech.
Yeah.
We sat for here, and we sat for Horwich. And there was about 10 of us, I would say, sat for all 3. And I sat for all 3. And in order of preference, that was the order, Wigan, here and Horwich. Wigan Tech was supposed to be the bee's knees. Mm-hmm. But only one of us passed for Wigan, one passed for Wigan. Well, 3 of us came here, and I think 2 went to Horwich. So there was 3 of us from Leyland came here.
But it was the school that kind of, it was organised through the school and they put you onto it.
I think we were selected. There was only about 10 of us went. It was the same 10, I think, that sat all 3. So I think we were selected as potential, you know, we were sort of bright enough to go, whereas the others weren't, I suppose.
And was that like a scholarship exam, so you didn't have to pay the fees?
No, I'm sure there was no money involved at all. I never remember. Well, my parents would have paid, but I don't remember any. I'm sure there was no money involved.
Okay. But did you have to buy things like a uniform or...?
I had a uniform for the secondary modern school, and I had a uniform here.
Yeah.
In fact, my tie, I think it was my tie, is in the Harris Museum.
I
took a tie and maybe something else. I'm sure there's up there. I've nothing now.
Okay.
At all. Okay. It's a pity really, because coming back to the textiles, what we had to do, one of the things we had to do was design fabrics, you know, and we sort of designed them on a jacquard loom, and then we had to weave them and cut them off. And of course, I think these went towards the exams and so on, you know.
Yeah.
But those have long gone. I never kept anything. I only kept my tie.
And was it all work at the Harris Institute, or were there any?
Was it
all work at the Institute, or were there any extracurricular activities?
No.
No.
I don't think so. No, I didn't. I don't recall. Have you any? You're obviously thinking of something that you think.
I suppose it's just sort of. I know people had games and PE as part of things.
Well, there was a PE lesson, obviously, and the only thing I can remember about the PE lesson was that Jim Hornby devised a game called Squat Soccer. Has anyone else mentioned that?
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Now, that was great, that. Uh-huh. You know, instead of jumping up and down all day, you played squat soccer. And it was very, very enjoyable, was that. I wasn't sure whether that was within the compass of what you were talking about.
I suppose it's sort of... you had your lessons all day, but did any of your pals meet up after college or lunchtime or anything?
There was one thing I should tell you about lunch. Occasionally, probably once every 3 weeks, a month or so, on Friday. I mean, if anybody does anything special for lunch, it's always on a Friday, isn't it?
Yeah.
There was a cafe in Corporation Street, the bit that goes up now, it's not there now, obviously it's gone, but it was from the sort of ring road up to Fishergate.
Yeah.
Just around the corner on the right hand side, it was called the Dinky Cafe.
Okay.
And half a dozen of us went there about probably once every 3 or 4 weeks for a lunch.
Okay.
That was what we did. But the thing that the worst thing ever here for me was Wednesday afternoon, which was football afternoon. Now, I wasn't really built for football. I wouldn't say I was a fat lad, but I was overweight, really. I wasn't one for running around, really. We played football. Of course, on the field, the other side of the river from Avon Park.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was a sports field. And we got changed in the art school in Rivesdale Place, isn't it?
Yeah.
And after you've been running around playing football for 90 minutes... you got to go back across the old tram bridge and run up this damn hill in Avenham Park.
It's steep, isn't it?
Oh, I will remember that forever. That was awful. That used to kill me, that. That's the worst thing about coming here.
And did, just thinking about some of the background, do you know it? What kind of things did your parents do, or did any? What kind of thing did your parents do, and were they keen on you coming here?
Yes, I was brought up quite strictly. Actually, my parents were quite keen on sort of discipline. I was well behaved. It was the era when if you got out wrong, you got your backside smacked. And I got that often, but I was encouraged. As I say, I was generally pretty slow at things, apparently. That's what the teacher told them. But they did encourage me, and they helped me with... I mean, they weren't exceptionally clever. My father worked in the wages office at Leyland Motors. And my mother worked at the Royal Ordnance Factory in Exton on the sort of production line. But, they were relatively intelligent. And my father was good at figures, of course. And they did help with maths and so on. Okay. I leaned towards maths. I was generally, I liked the math things better than the English things, really.
Yeah.
You know, but they did encourage me. Yes, I would say so.
And did you have any siblings who went to here or somewhere?
No, I was the only one.
Okay.
Yeah, I was the only one. Yeah.
Okay. And when when you kind of finished working at the mill, what did you then go on to do?
I went to work in the laboratory at Echo Ensign, the electric light place in Kent Street.
Oh, okay.
And largely because when I was at the mill, after I came out of the RAF, I went back to the mill and I worked in the lab part.
Okay.
And that was a similar job in the, obviously a different industry, but it was a similar job in the Kent Street lamp factory. It was testing and whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So I went for an interview there and I got a job there. I was there probably 5 or 6 years, and it was fairly obvious to me I wasn't going to get on particularly well there. The job was all right. The guy who I worked with was only a few years older than me, and I didn't see any future there.
Okay.
And I knew the personnel manager at BTR in Leyland, Farrington. And I said to him, you know, are there any jobs sort of going? And he sort of unofficially, I'm not so sure he should have done this, but he got me an interview to go in the conveyor belt in sales office as a sales correspondent. And I did that for 3 or 4 years. And of course there was two rubber factories in Leyland. There was BTR and there was Leyland and Birmingham Rubber Company. After being there about 3 years, Leyland and Birmingham Rubber Company wanted some representatives. And I applied. There is a story attached to that, but I'm not sure whether you want to hear that, I don't know. I applied for a job as a sales rep, and I got that, and I got a job as a sales rep.
Okay. So you moved a fair way from...
Let's just say it was a bit fixed.
Oh, okay.
May I ask you? Was it quite a different type of work then in the sales to what you'd been doing and what you'd learned at the Harris?
Well,
which sounds more kind of technical.
I will tell you what happened. The conveyor belt in, it was rubber conveyor belt in sales, and what we did was all the quotations, customers' inquiries, put orders, all the correspondence relating to the orders. That was fine. Now, how it was set up was, I don't want to take too much time because I know this is not relevant, but it's
interesting.
Each correspondent, there were three of us, we worked for either two or three sales reps. All their reports, and anything, correspondence, phone calls from any of their customers came to their sales rep. Now, one of my sales reps was a guy called Harry Brown, who was the sales rep for the northwest of England. And he came in to see me a couple of times a week, brought his reports, and because he was local, brought his reports and talked about jobs and so on. Now, the company as a whole, BTR, they employed a man who was about 30 years old, highly qualified in business, and he was brought in for potentially higher management. But he was brought in from not the rubber industry. He didn't know anything about rubber. Mm. And when he joined, he sort of worked with three or four people to sort of learn the trade, more or less, And one of the people he worked with was Harry. So when Harry came to see me, he brought this other guy called Terry. He brought Terry with him. And I got to know Terry quite well. He was a nice chap, fine. When Terry had gone around with these three or four people learning different aspects of rubber, he got the job of managing director at Leyland and Birmingham Rubber Company.
Mm-hmm.
And as I say, shortly, about 3 months after he joined, they advertised for three reps. And Harry said to me, "Have you heard about the reps jobs at LMB?" I said, "Well, yeah." He said, "Are you going to apply?" I said, "Well, I don't know really. I don't know anything." They made extrusions, mouldings, gaskets and sheeting and all. I said, "I don't know anything about what they make." He says, "Well, I've never been a rep, you know." "Oh," he says, "that doesn't matter, you'll learn that." He said, "You want to apply? You'll get a car. Better job than this." So I did. And the interview, I got an interview. And Harry rung up, talked to me one day, and he said, "I should have asked you. I told him I got an interview." He said, "When is your interview?" I said, "Oh, next, whatever." "Oh, what time?" "Oh, such a time." "Oh, right, okay." And I didn't think anything about that. I went to the interview. I was sat in the interview, which was in the sales manager's office with the sales manager. He was interviewing me. And all of a sudden, the door opened and Terry walked in.
Yeah.
And he said, "Oh, it's Ken, isn't it, Ken?" I said, "Yeah." "Oh," he says, "what are you doing here?" I said, "Well, I've been interviewed for your sales jobs." "Oh," he says, "that's great." "Oh, well, we'll be seeing more of you then." I mean, I know it's not relative, but it's
yeah. That's the kind of interview you want, though, isn't it?
Isn't it? Yeah.
And it gets worse. So I got that job, and that was in. There was three jobs. One was in Durham. One was in the northeast of England. One was Derby, Notts, and Lincoln, and one was London and Surrey and Kent. And he gave me the choice. I chose the one in Durham. When I'd only been there 12 months, and they wanted me to move and take over Yorkshire and somewhere else. And we had to move from Durham to Garforth in Leeds. And after a while, they wanted me to become Southern Area Sales Manager, which went moving. So we actually moved to Barwell near Hinckley and Leicester.
Mm.
And I wasn't keen, I didn't particularly like that there. And I said to my boss who worked in Leyland, I said, "Is there any chance of coming back to Leyland? I wouldn't mind doing that." "Right, okay," he said. And it must have been 2 or 3 years later. He said to me, "Do I recall you mentioning that you wanted to come back to Leyland?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, if you want, you can." And the sales rep from round here was leaving. So I came back here.
Mm-hmm.
And from that time on, they were gradually... When I started, I was one of 15 reps. And I was actually made redundant. And I was one out of three.
Mm.
But they slipped up when they made me redundant.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is another story. Which I'll have to tell you this now, won't I? I mean, Leyland and Birmingham, by rubber companies, was quite a large company, and they sent work out to an extruder and a moulder in Accrington called Dale Polymers. Now, Leyland and Birmingham announced that there would be they got a new sales manager. managing director, and he announced there would be 14 redundancies. Now, when I worked at there and lived in Leyland, on Friday morning I went and I worked in the office, and I went in this Friday morning and these redundancies had been announced, and one of them was a salesperson. Now, funnily enough, on that morning, the sales manager said to me, "I've got a drawing here for a rubber part." He said, "Can you nip over to Dale?" It was called Dale Polymers, the other bit. "Can you nip over to Dale and give it the guy called Roger?" My new Roger. I said, "Yeah, sure." So I went over, gave, he wanted a quote for this, these parts. And I said to Roger, "There's going to be some redundancies at L&B." "Oh, I said, "I might be one. You never know, there's a salesperson going to be one." He says, "Well, if it is, let me know."
Brilliant.
So, sure enough, it was me. And I was 58 at the time. And I said to the sales manager that made me redundant, I said, "Just a matter of interest, why was it me?" And he said, "Oh," he said, "I've had nightmares about this. I didn't want to make anyone redundant. But it had to be you, because you were the only one of the three," he had three reps, "that was old enough to be retired." And that was the reason. And he arranged for me to take my works pension at that time. And I didn't feel like I wanted to stay at home. I was only 58. So I rung Roger up and told him, "Yeah, it's me." And within a couple of months, he offered me a job. And it was far easier than the job at Leyland. Far easier, because Leyland and Birmingham, it was an old company, and they had old machinery. They weren't very efficient, in all honesty. The prices were high, and it was difficult. Went to Dale, and it was a doddle. It really was. Mm-hmm. So that's what happened. And then I was there 5 years, and then I retired.
Even though, obviously, you changed direction a number of times, do you think the time you spent at the Harris was still valuable?
It was certainly undoubtedly valuable initially. I think it was very disciplined here, and yeah. I think you know, you were treated very well. I think you got the impression that, you know, you were sort of respected in a way, and yeah. You weren't looked down upon in any way, and possibly that sort of contributed, really. As far as what I learned here, didn't, once I'd left the mill, didn't really apply.
Yeah.
I mean, at the lamp factory, it was all sort of electrical stuff, which we didn't learn here. And we didn't learn anything about rubber, obviously. But I think that the discipline and the general attitude here was yeah. very, very good. Yeah. As I think I mentioned to you when we spoke before, this was the only real school that, I didn't particularly like school, but I liked coming here. I think yeah. there was a difference here, no doubt about it.
Yeah. And you met your wife at the mill in your first works? What did she do, if you don't mind my asking?
No, I think I told you this story, didn't I?
Yeah.
We go back to the woodwork master.
Yes.
We go back to the woodwork master.
Go on.
I only went in the text. I only studied textiles because I didn't like the woodwork
yeah,
master.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, we hear these stories about, I've got to mention upstairs, downstairs, haven't I?
Yeah.
Now, that was that was very serious. I mean, a lot of it stood a laughed about and joy. I never went upstairs. I wouldn't have dared go upstairs.
Quite right, too.
Wouldn't dare ever go upstairs. The only time you saw a girl was when they came down to the either play netball in the quadrangle or they went in the gym.
Yes.
But of course, you met them outside. I didn't meet anyone here. I know it went on, and some people have gone to get married. They either came with them on the bus or they met them outside or whatever. But that didn't apply. But the two things which are very significant, I think, are the woodwork master and Mr. Ashworth, who nominated Lostical Spinning Company for me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you say that, you know, just one single thing in your life can make a dictates your whole life.
Yeah.
And what actually happened was that I went to Lostical Spinning Company, and as a direct result of going to that particular mill, I was introduced to this girl. She didn't work at the mill, but it was a contact from the mill that introduced me to this girl.
Yeah.
And we've been married 61 years.
Okay.
And that all goes back to the woodwork master.
Yeah.
If he'd have been a nice guy,
yeah,
I might have never studied textiles.
No.
And I've never met the girl. So, I think it's a good example of one particular thing,
yeah,
almost dictating your whole life. No?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd have never... I don't know what would have happened. Where would I have worked? Where would we have lived? You may not be around here.
Yeah.
I would have obviously presumably met somebody else and
yeah,
got married. You know, you don't know, do you?
Yeah.
But it all goes back to the woodwork master.
Thanks for it. I think that's mainly what I wanted
that's
to
about
ask
it,
you about.
Really, isn't it?
Is there anything else you'd kind of like to tell us that maybe we haven't touched on about your time here or anything else about your education or your work or something that I suppose that comes back to the Harris in a way?
I'm trying to think of I think we've covered sort of quite a lot of it really, but I do think about it, and one thing I wonder, talking about the alumni, do you actually, or have you actually made any effort to contact children who were there when I was there?
Yes, yeah. I mean, Jodie's had this sort of kind of list of the Harris alumni for a long time, but I think, Helen, you've come across a few people, haven't you?
Yeah,
so we're still looking for people. Is there anyone you'd be interested in finding out about, or just...
Oh, I don't think so. Of the three of us that came from Lael, and one of them's passed away, and the other one is... I don't think he will be...
Okay.
Interested at all, really. But I did sort of, you know, wonder whether... because I found out by accident, really.
Right.
How I found out, and I don't know who I was talking to, a lot of mysteries attached to my life. Probably 10 years ago, one of the things that you could study here, I think, was what do you call it? Not hotel management. Something associated to events.
Events management.
Events management, was it?
Yeah.
You know, the university has a connection with Leyland Band.
Okay. Yeah.
Because they play the fanfares at the
things
and whatnot. Yeah, and they do. There is a sort of connection. And one of the things that these Is it corporate management or something they call it? Something like that.
Yeah.
One of the things they had to do was organise an event. And they asked the band, up to 6 months ago, I was involved with their own band.
Oh, okay.
I was the chairman of the support committee. I wasn't in the band, but and I sort of knew about the band, and I'd done that for about 15 years. And apparently, whoever was here then asked the band if they would perform in one of the lecture theatres.
Okay. Yeah.
And the students had to organise everything.
Right.
They had to sort of sell the tickets, advertise it as part of their thing, you see. And I thought, well, we'll go and listen to this concert. But I didn't know where this lecture theatre was. And I rung up somebody here. I found a number and I rung someone up.
Yeah.
And I explained what I wanted. And I said, can you tell me where this lecture theatre is? And she set off by saying, you know the old brick building in Corporation Street? And I said, well, I should do. I went there for two years. Oh, my God, it was like she'd found a long-lost brick. Are you an alumni? I said, no. And I don't know who it was, whether it was Jodie or somebody else, or I have no idea who it was. But I ended up then getting all the alumni stuff.
Excellent.
Yeah, great.
No, we're making a concerted effort to, sort of for all alumni, and, kind of we're particularly keen to get in touch with the Harris alumni, and so I want to record.
Funnily enough, you talk about it being a reunion when you have the meetings here. But I do know, funnily enough, I know one person that wasn't here when I was. I'm not meeting all my old schoolmates, which some people may do, but there's not many really, is there?
No.
When you think there was about 40 in a year then, something like that?
Yeah.
There's not many, really.
No.
But the only person that I know, sadly now, is Arthur Whitlock.
Okay.
He was involved in the bursary scheme, wasn't he?
Okay.
Now I came here and I knew Arthur because Arthur was involved with the band as well.
Okay.
He was marketing manager at one time, the LMR, and Arthur was that. And I knew Arthur, but through the band.
Okay.
Right.
And one of the times I came here, I met him. And he apparently is 2 years older than me, so he left here the year I came.
Yeah.
Sadly, now I understand he's got Alzheimer's, And that's the only person I knew here. I didn't know anybody in our class at all.
Yeah. Well, I suppose the Harris alumni goes from 1945 to about 1972, so it's quite a long span of time. But we're trying to get hold of as many as we can.
Mm. Well, of course, sadly, all of them will have passed away now, won't they? The earlier ones.
Yeah.
I don't know what year did the junior tech finish roughly.
It's about mid-50s, 55, 56 or something.
Was it?
And that's when they sat at Preston College, or Tucson, W.R. Tucson
College. Yeah. So it wasn't just about 5 years after I left, probably, something like that. Yeah, it was fine.
I'll stop that.